Krishna.
Krishna
Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare
Rama.
Rama
Rama.
Hare Hare.
So today we are having class on Shikshastakam. Maharaj will be speaking for 1 hour, which is going to be followed by Prashadam. So in our ISKCON fashion, let's welcome him in with three loud Hari Bowls.
Hari.
Hare Krishna. I was just remembering that yesterday I forgot about the introduction aspect of our program. Does everybody know everybody else here? Okay, should we? I don't know how long it'll take, but maybe we just go through that. Huh? Like, we start from here. You just give your name and your where you're from. Just you start. Stand up. Ravi what? Hare Krishna, my name is Bhakti Charu Swami. And I don't have any place where I belong to. So we will discuss about Shikshashtakam. Shikshashtakam has 8 verses. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave these 8 verses, only these 8 verses in written forms. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the most sublime and most elevated spiritual wisdom, but in written form he gave only these 8 verses. He was the greatest scholar of all time. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But even if we look at him from the mundane perspective, then we can see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was an exceptionally brilliant personality. When Mahaprabhu was about 14 years old, he defeated the greatest scholar of India, Keshav Kashmiri. And that also without getting into any debate or duet with him. Didn't get into any kind of scholarly battle. Generally, the fight, just as the Kshatriyas fight with sword and weapons, the Brahmanas fight with each other, if at all you can call it a fight, with their intellect. Like this way they prove their wisdom over others. And how many of you know how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defeated Keshav Kashmiri? How many of you want to know how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defeated Keshav Kashmiri? Okay. And so I'll briefly try to relate that story just to establish Mahaprabhu's unusual brilliance. Keshav Kashmiri, from the name itself we can see he was from Kashmir. Kashmir is on the northernmost part of India, at the foothills of the Himalayas, a valley in the Himalayas, a beautiful place. And there was a very exalted Brahminical culture there, and many, many Brahmanas used to live there in Kashmir. So Keshav Kashmiri was one such Brahmana from Kashmir, and his original name was Keshav Bhatta. But because he was from Kashmir, he was commonly known as Kashmiri. So Keshav Kashmiri was such a brilliant scholar that he wanted to prove his scholarship by defeating all other scholars all over India. So he started his journey from Kashmir, and as he was traveling, he was defeating the scholars. And this way he traveled through entire India, from North India to West India to South India to Central India. Then he came to East India, Bengal. He defeated all the scholars of all the noticeable scholarship and renowned individuals at different places. After defeating, only the last place of scholarship that is left is Navadvip. Actually, there were pockets, there were areas where the places were known for scholarship, so he was going from one place to another. Like Benares is a known place for scholarship. Mathura, Vrindavan was a known place of scholarship and all. So in this way, Keshav Kashmiri traveled from all these places all the way to South India. And South India is also very renowned for the scholarship. Western India, Maharashtra was also renowned for scholarship. Pandharpur, such places. Now the only place that is left to be conquered is Navadvip. And when the residents, the scholars of Navadvip got to know that Keshav Kashmiri is coming to challenge them, in order to save their face and reputation, they all ran away from Navadvip. So when Keshav Kashmiri came to Navadvip, no one was there to challenge him or to have an encounter with him. He heard that there is one great scholar. His name is Nimai Pandit. Do you know who Nimai Pandit is? So Nimai Pandit is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But when Keshav Kashmiri heard that he was just a young boy, just 14, 15 years old, then he felt, what's the point in getting into argument with 14-year-old boy? He was waiting for the big scholars to come back. So one day, Keshav Kashmiri was walking by the Ganges, and he saw one beautiful-looking young boy. He is teaching a group of young students. He was teaching grammar. Grammar is the very basics of Sanskrit language. When you start to study Sanskrit, the first thing you start learning, the first aspect that you deal with is grammar, vyakaran. So he just... out of curiosity, he went and asked him, "So, what are you teaching? What's your name?" So he said, "My name is Nimai Mishra." He said, "Oh, so you are the Nimai Pandit." So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "Yes, out of affection, people call me Pandit, which means scholar. People consider, just out of their affection, they consider me to be a scholar. But actually I'm just a, you can see, just a young boy teaching grammars to this group of students." So Keshav Kashmiri said, "Okay, I'm very happy to meet you. I heard about your scholarship. So come, let's have an encounter." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "You are such an exalted scholar. I don't want to get into an argument with you, fight with you, intellectual duet with you, but rather I'll take advantage of meeting you as such an exalted scholar. So Keshav Kashmiri said, so tell me what you want to hear from me. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, see, the river Ganges is flowing here. So just say something in describing the glory of the Ganges. Then Keshav Kashmiri in continuously composed 100 verses. And with the same speed of the Ganges, flow of the Ganges, and with the rhythm of the Ganges flow, he actually composed this 100 verses and recited them. Everyone was awestruck. Can you imagine? Writing poetry is one thing, but describing poetry in this way, with a continuous flow, what kind of scholarship, what kind of wisdom one needs? So everyone was awestruck. So Keshav Kashmiri naturally felt proud. So he asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so how did you like it? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, fine, it was very nice. Excepting a few mistakes here and there. Keshav Kashmiri was absolutely upset with him. He said, no one ever points any mistake in my composition. My composition is flawless. And so he started to chastise Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How do you dare to find faults in my composition? What do you know about poetry? What do you know of rhetorics? You're simply a young lad teaching grammar. Anyway, what mistake did you find in my composition? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited just one verse from that, the 64th verse. And in one verse he pointed out seven mistakes. Just in one slogan. Keshav Kashmiri was completely dumbfounded. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pointed out those said mistakes. Sanskrit poetry or rhetoric maintain certain law, and they are Mahaprabhu pointed out those mistakes according to those law. For example, one mistake was that he considered Ganga, that is describing Ganga, that is coming from the head of Lord Shiva. Ganga, you remember, Lord Shiva actually held the Ganga's flow. When Ganga came from the upper planetary system to the earth planet, to the material nature actually, Lord Shiva held Ganga on his head. So that way, Ganga is actually also can be considered that it's coming from the head of Lord Shiva. Now, while describing Lord Shiva, he said, Bhavani Bharta. Bhavani Bharta means the husband of Bhavani. Who is Bhavani? Bhavani is Mahamaya, Durga. Lord Shiva is the husband of Durga. Now, the word Bhavani means the wife of Bhava. Wife of Bhava. Bhava is the name of Lord Shiva. So the composition comes like the wife of Bhavani, the husband of Bhavani, means the wife of Bhava's husband. Wife of, in simple words, Lord Shiva is being described here as Shiva's wife's husband. It sounds as if she has another husband. Shiva's wife's husband. Shiva's wife is Bhavani, and Bharta means husband. Shiva's wife's husband. Then there are Sanskrit composition mistakes like Viruddhamati, Bhagnakram, etc. But before doing that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed so many qualities in that composition, and then he pointed out so many defects. So this is how, without even challenging, without even getting into a duet, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defeated Keshav Kashmir. Keshav Kashmir was completely devastated. He was, because Keshav Kashmir actually had the benediction from Saraswati. Saraswati would always remain in his tongue. That means whatever he would say would be a manifestation of Saraswati's mercy. So Keshav Kashmiri went back and started to cry that you had to embarrass me in this way, like accepting defeat from a young boy. Then Saraswati appeared to him. He said, Keshav, your learning, your wisdom, your scholarship has achieved this perfection today. Because the personality who defeated you is the master, is even my master, Krishna himself. So this is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defeated Keshav Kashmiri and established himself as the greatest scholar. But Mahaprabhu himself wrote only 8 verses. And so I'll quickly go through that. We have only 4 days and to cover 8 verses. Today, of course, we started a little late. So today we'll cover only the first verse. And then from tomorrow we will try to do more than 1 verses each day. How many of you know this verse already? Yeah, so please make it a point to memorize these verses. Isn't it important? The eight written verses by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the only thing that Mahaprabhu left in written form. So now that we have it, we can understand how important these 8 verses are. What do these 8 verses do? These 8 verses actually describe the characteristics of the holy name and the effect of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. What is the Hare Krishna Mahamantra? What is the benefit of chanting? What is the effect of chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra? What happens when you chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra? That has been described through these 8 verses. The first verse is like the introduction to the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. What does Hare Krishna Mahamantra do? What Hare Krishna Mahamantra is? First verse is describing what does the Hare Krishna Mahamantra do. When we chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, what happens to us? Isn't it interesting to know? So our chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra has 7 effects. The first effect is when you chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra, the mirror of your mind is cleansed. Mirror of your mind or your consciousness. Your consciousness becomes purified. Why mind has been specifically mentioned here? Cheta. Cheta can mean mind, like cheta can mean also consciousness. like Chetana. Those who of you know Sanskrit or Hindi, what is the word for such consciousness? Chetana. Chetana. So, this Chetana or the mind, why mind? Because in the material nature, through this, in our material condition, our consciousness is flowing through the mind. Our consciousness is projected through the mind, through the senses, into this material. When we perceive something with our senses, we have five senses. All our sense perceptions are limited to these five senses. But the senses, does the reception take place only through the senses? No, through the mind. Like for example, there is a light here in front of your eyes. The light is lit. But until I said the light is there, did you see it? Although your eyes are open and the light is very much there, the light is actually coming into the room from this light source. But were you aware of it? Why not? Because your mind was not connected to that. But now that you have been aware of it, you look at it, that your mind is tuned into it, you are registering it. So registration of our sense perception takes place through our mind. Therefore, according to the Vedic understanding, mind is an internal sense. We have five external senses: eyes, ears, nose, skin, and tongue. And we have one internal sense. That internal sense is mind. So, our consciousness is flowing through the mind. All our perceptions are taking place through the mind. But if the it is something like a mirror. In a mirror, you see the reflection. Right? Your consciousness is there, but the consciousness is, if the consciousness is tuned into, the right understanding will not be there. So your mind is there as a mirror. If you want to see, can you see your face? Can you see your face? But in order to see the face, you need a mirror. Similarly, your consciousness is there, but in order to register your consciousness, you need your mind. To recognize yourself, now what is happening? Are we seeing ourselves through our consciousness? Or we are seeing, what are we seeing? We are seeing a distorted concept of ourself, which is known as a false ego. Now, if the mirror is dirty, will you be able to see your face? If there is layers of dirt on the mirror, will you be able to see the face in the mirror? Therefore, what is needed to cleanse to clean the mirror? When the mirror is clean, all you do is just wipe out the dust. When you wipe out the dust, then what happens? The mirror becomes clean. Then you can see your face. Similarly, we are not able to see our real self. Why? Because our mind is dirty. So what does the holy name do? What does the holy name do? When we chant the holy name, when you take shelter of the holy name, the first thing it does is it cleans the mirror of our mind. And as a result of that, we get to see ourselves. So, cheto darpana mardana. That is the first effect. Then what is the next effect of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? Bhava Maha Davagni Nirvapana. It extinguishes the forest fire of material existence. Material nature, our existence in the material nature has been compared to being in the middle of a forest fire. How will you feel if you are in the middle of a forest fire? You'll be burned. Will that be a very pleasing experience? So similarly, our situation in the material nature is like being in a forest fire. We are burning, we are constantly burning, we are suffering so much in this material. But due to the illusory energy of the Lord, Maya, we are thinking that, this suffering is so wonderful. This is the illusion. Illusion means to see something, to consider something to be in a way that it is not. An illusion, like a desert, in the desert, the hot sand appears to be like water. Mirage. It's actually hot sand, but what impression you are getting? That is water. Is it water? No, it's something else. It's diametrically opposed to water. But we are thinking that. So similarly, due to our illusion, we are thinking that suffering is enjoyment. That is our condition in the material nature. So when we chant the holy name of the Lord, Bhava Maha Davagni Nirvapanam, this dangerous ocean of material existence, which is like a huge forest fire, is extinguished. Nirvapanam. Nirvapanam means to extinguish. You chant the holy name, your suffering condition will be removed. Will go away. Shreya Koirava Chandrika Bitaranam. It radiates a beautiful moonbeam like happiness, which brings all auspiciousness to us. The Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large because it spreads the ray of benediction moon. The example here is Shreya. Shreya means auspiciousness. Koirava Chandrika, a beautiful moonbeam. How is the moonbeam? Very soothing. White moonbeam is very soothing. Now your suffering condition is relieved and the soothing effect is experienced. Shreya Koirava Chandrika. And Vidyavadhu Jivanam, it is the life of all transcendental knowledge. This Krishna consciousness movement, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the Sankirtan Yagya, the congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the epitome of all wisdom. Wisdom leads us to certain conclusion. Right? Now, what is the ultimate conclusion of all wisdom? In step by step we can go. Like the ultimate conclusion of all wisdom is to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of God. Isn't that the ultimate conclusion of all wisdom? Like wisdom leads us to accept God is there. And if God is there, then what is our relationship with Him? What should He do? to Him. Surrender to Him. When you surrender to Him, then what we should do? We must serve Him. What is the best way to serve the Lord in this age? Through congregational chanting. So what is the ultimate conclusion of all wisdom? Sankirtan. So Vidyavadhu Jivanam, this chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the ultimate, is the life of all transcendental knowledge. Anandam Budhibardhanam, it increases the ocean of transcendental bliss. It's not only getting some bliss, some joy, some happiness. In the material nature, we are trying to get some happiness. We are prepared to sacrifice anything for a little pleasure, don't we? When we are in a suffering condition, then we are prepared to sacrifice everything to get relief from the suffering condition. When we want something of pleasing to our senses, then we are prepared to sacrifice everything for that. Like, you consider how many battles have been fought in this world. How many people give up their lives just to get one object of their love, one woman of exceptional beauty. The Western history is filled with such episodes or such historical anecdotes. How many of you read the Iliad? It's Homer's epic, which is commonly known as the Helen of Troy. What happened? The entire Greece got devastated because one person, one prince, Paris, he fell in love with a beautiful woman. The princess, the queen of, she was actually married. She was the queen of Agamemnon. And a battle was fought and millions of people gave up their lives. Similarly, battle of Mahabharata, the whole thing actually was Draupadi, the most celebrated beauty of that time. Duryodhan just wanted to have her, and there were other aspects also, but the ultimate thing was that it was all because of Draupadi. Draupadi was insulted in a public assembly, and as a result of that, eventually the battle took place. Padmini, the wife of the king of Rajasthan, Prithviraj Chauhan. Muhammad Ghori attacked Prithviraj's kingdom, capital, 17 times and he was defeated. But he came again and again and again. All because of this beauty. He wanted to have Padmini. But he could, at last he defeated, treacherously, he defeated Prithviraj Chauhan and killed him. And when the news reached, actually they knew that his eyes was on Padmini, the most beautiful woman. And he just, Padmini, when the news reached that the king was defeated and killed, all the women, not only Padmini, but all the women of the fortress gave up their life. They lit a huge fire and they all entered into the fire and gave it. Not one person became sati. The whole city, practically, all the women in the city gave up their life. Because they wouldn't allow this intruder to have. So we can see that how this illusory energy actually works. That for and why one is attracted to a woman? Because of some momentary pleasure. But what this holy name is going to offer us is to be submerged in an ocean of pleasure. Anandam buddhi, which is bardhanam, which is increasing. And the seventh effect is purnamrita swadana. And then this holy name will enable us to drink the complete nectar. That's the sixth aspect. Purnamritasna ashwadana. In one hand, it will drown us in an ocean of ecstasy. Not a drop of ecstasy. But it will provide us with an ocean of ecstasy. And that ocean will continuously keep on increasing. Unlimited ecstasy. That's what the Holy Name will give us. Anandam buddhi vardhanam pratipadam purnam vitashvara. And as a result of that, it increases the ocean of transcendental bliss and it enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. And the seventh aspect, which hasn't been included here, the seventh aspect is Sarvatma Snapanam. Snapanam means to bathe. Sarva Atma, all the individuals, all the living entities will become completely bathed and cleansed as a result of chanting. So this is the benefit of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described through his Shikshashtakam. The first verse of the Shikshashtaka. So, I haven't been able to properly discuss it in the class today, but you have the books and you have the translation, so please read it and try to understand. If you have any question, you can ask. So, I'll read the verse again, the translation, verse and the translation. So, you all can recite after me. Cheto darpana marjanam bhava mahadavagmi nirvapanam shreya kairava chandrika vitaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandam buddhi vardhanam pratipadam purnamrita swadanam sarvatma snapanam param vijayate shri krishna sankirtanam. Glory to the Shri Krishna Sankirtan, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years together and thus extinguishes the blazing fire of conditioned life, of repeated birth and death. The Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss. And it enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. So, please repeat after me. Glory to the Shri Krishna Sankirtan, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years together, and thus extinguishes the blazing fire of conditioned life, of repeated birth and death. The Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss. And it enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. Hare Krishna. Shri Krishna Sankirtan ki Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtan. Does anybody have any question? I'll take, just take a few questions shortly. Yes. Yeah. Badhu means friend. Bandhu. Badhu. Yeah. Badhu means friend.
Friend.
So it is actually that this knowledge is our dear most friend. Most. What does the friend do? Friend is the life and soul. So he is the life and soul of all benediction. I mean, all wisdom, all knowledge. So maybe I will stop now. I won't take any more questions because it seems some cookies have come, and which means that we have to offer you these cookies. So please come forward and take the cookies and get ready for breakfast. Okay, Ramananda Rai will make a short announcement now.
Let Ramananda.
Hare Krishna. Devotees, in name of the organizing team, I sincerely want to apologize for all the trouble that you have that you might have gone through yesterday by trying to find your room in the guest house or the holiday house. Sorry for all the trouble. And if any one of you still have a problem in the house or any need, please come to me now after the lecture, and we'll note it down and we will try to take care of it. Thank you. Another announcement is that during the weekend festival, we had a performance team here who were performing with a puppet theater. And it seems to have been very much appreciated by all of the festival visiting people. So these people are still here today, and they offered to perform for all of us, and we thought we can do it at 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Where will it be?
In the festival tent, at the other side of the
festival tent.
The other side of the domain. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Mara said at the beginning of the class that he has no place of residence, but I'm sure he has a place of residence in all of our hearts. And during this week, he's going to take us on a very nice journey. So thank you, Mara, for giving us this opportunity. Just a couple of announcements which I'm going to make. So listen up, because a couple of them are quite important. First one is transport. For people that are living in the house, if you need transport, then please contact Leela Purushottam Prabhu or Chandrakant Bhai. And transport is only available in between classes, not during classes. So if you call them during a class, they won't come and pick you up, unfortunately. Second announcement is that, yes, Ramananda Roy Prabhu will take care of any other issues that people that are living in the houses have. So if you have any issues, please speak to him. Also, laundry, if you're required to do any laundry, there's actually a washing machine in the guest house over here. So if you need to use it, then you need to get a token. And so you just ask the reception and they'll give you a token, and you can use the token for the washing machine. Also, Krishna Karuna Prabhu and Prashan Bhai, they will need help before the class for arranging the chairs in the morning and cleaning. So if you can contact them, if you really want to help, then please, they would be very much appreciative of this. Also, we have prasadam now. So we are going to need some help for serving. So if anyone is voluntarily wanting to do this, then it would be very, very nice, because we are all here in the mood of service to serve Maharaj and all the other devotees. So any offering service would be very nice. Vinod Prabhu? finally, anyone that is staying on temple grounds, if you could kindly offer your rooms to people that are in the houses, because obviously they're here for the whole day, and if they want to take rest, then it's a bit of a mission to get back to the house. So if you can offer your rooms, it would be very, very nice. Thank you very much. For Prajali. Or you can take a cookie, Maharaj, you are. So if you can form an orderly queue. Children maybe can come first. And the ladies, please. Hare Krishna.